Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. What thoughts does this quote from today's gospel reading bring up for you? Did you think, awesome, we need to talk more about greed? Or was it more like, oh crap, here it comes. Stewardship season is upon us and we get another sermon on the amount. The topic of money tends to make many of us Anglicans cringe. In truth, talking about money makes us uncomfortable in the larger context of our society as well. It's one of those things we might have learned from an early age not to bring up in polite company. I remember when I was a small child asking my uncle how much money he made. You should have seen how quickly my mom swooped in to shush me, then follow it up with the embarrassing words of, "It's not polite to ask those kinds of questions." From an early age, we learn that there are some topics, like sex and money, that are taboo. If you are one of the people like me who were raised this way, hang on. Today we're going to break taboo. But fear not. After all, Jesus himself did this. He talked more about money and possessions and our relationship with them than any other topic. Luke tells us of Jesus being in a crowd of people, teaching naturally. A man approaches Jesus and asks him to arbitrate a dispute he is having with his brother about an inheritance. This man's request may seem a bit odd at first blush. Why would Jesus be asked a legal question? After all, Jesus was a respected preacher and teacher and not a lawyer. So how does he respond? Jesus opts out of getting involved in the familial squabble over property. Instead, he uses it as an opportunity to talk about money, and more importantly, a right relationship with money. Here, Jesus tells a parable of the rich fool. First, though, let's start with a bit of clarity about the main fellow in this parable. He isn't portrayed as particularly wicked. He is not described as someone whose wealth was ill-gotten. He hasn't cheated anyone. He's not one of those tax collectors who were considered to be the shakedown artists of Jesus' day. And he hasn't stolen anything. From the information we're given, he became wealthy by the sweat of his own brow and by honest means. He was a farmer and his land had produced liberally. At first glance, his decision to save for the future by building bigger barns doesn't sound too unreasonable either. He does need space for his abundant harvest, right? What's wrong with saving for a rainy day? The truth is, there is absolutely nothing wrong with saving for a rainy day. The foolishness of this man isn't in his plan to build bigger barns. His spiritual illness, if you would like to call it, isn't inherently about his wealth or even his ambition. It's in how he relates to it. Worth noting, too, is the inner dialogue this man has with himself. What should I do? I have no place to store my crops. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. So relax. Eat, drink, and be merry." In this short dialogue, consisting of approximately 60 words, The man uses 11 references to himself with the personal pronouns I and my. If we add the references to soul and you as part of that inner dialogue about himself, we then have 22% of the words in this short passage talking about, well, me. The unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. There are no references at all to others, not to family or friends, and certainly no reference to God. He is under the mistaken belief that all this wealth is his possessions, his to control, and that he alone produced his wealth. The other symptom that distorts this man's relationship with his wealth is uncovered when God addresses him. You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And things you have prepared, whose will they be? In the face of the stark reality of death, the truth is revealed to him. No amount of wealth or possessions will save him from his own finitude. He will die, and nothing on this earth can prevent death. His possessions are temporal and are not of ultimate worth. They will not save him. On one level, we all know our wealth won't save us. We know this. We tend to know this in our heads, but sometimes our hearts don't fully register it. We can be anxious about money, anxious about the rising costs of living, helping kids or grandkids with post-secondary tuition, fearful that our cars will die on us, which I experienced recently, and worries about family and church finances, all of which make us nervous about money. As Christians, we are called to shift our focus away from the small and outward into a radical trust in God. When our focus moves outward in this way, we begin to view wealth very differently. We realize that it isn't our wealth at all. It all belongs to God. Even our own talents by which we are able to obtain our wealth are gifts from God. None of it belongs to us. It is all on loan. The rich fool hasn't figured out that the wealth he claims isn't really his. He only has temporary custody of it. To put it in today's context, we might ponder exactly how much Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, or Elon Musk will be worth when they die. The answer is exactly the same as you and me. Death is the great equalizer, and when we die, our net worth in dollars is zero. This realization moves us from being consumers of resources to stewards of God's good gifts. We begin to ask different questions about the use of wealth. How might wealth be our blessing to the world? It doesn't mean that our personal needs will be left out of the equation, but it does mean that we will balance personal needs with the needs of others and the environment, promoting healthy and holy relationships to bring glory to God. So Jesus' teaching is not a condemnation of wealth or ambition. Rather, it is an invitation to view our material possessions differently. Can our wealth and possessions help us live a relatively comfortable life? Of course they can. Can they make us confident that we are worthy of God's love and guarantee us right relationship with God and each other? Of course not. Friends, Christ invites us into a life greater than our anxious fears over things that have no ultimate worth. He invites us into deeper relationship with God and with each other. This is a treasure far, far greater and far more enduring. May it be so. Amen.